It's baseball season. It's Russo and Rizzo on a midweek edition, the first day of October. Welcome to October Baseball. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. That's Mike Rizzo. That's Christian Catt. Colin Russo. Mike's got a smile on his face on the ESPN West Palm stream, which you can catch on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter/X. It's funny because for about the last, I would say it's a long game, about 2.5 hours prior to maybe the last 15 minutes, Mike Rizzo was a wreck.
Oh.
He was a mess. That groaning right there, you heard on flyouts in the fourth inning, on flyouts in the second inning, on a strike call, you know, with no outs, you know, the first inning. And Rizzo has been living and dying with every single pitch in that Guardian game, which they just took the lead, 3-1. Bottom of the eighth, they've got two men on second and third. Two outs right now, waiting to see if they can capitalize and continue to extend their lead, maybe put the Tigers away in game two of the wild card series. We've got a lot to talk about. You're in a much better mood now than you were 10 minutes ago, huh?
A lot better. Before the explosion of two runs, and yes, I mean explosion of two runs, now it being 3-1, the guards had 10 balls that reached the outfield in 17 innings. So there hasn't been much to cheer for.
Right.
And the fact that Rocchio was able to hit the home run, he's our shortstop. He spent some time in Columbus a month ago. You called him up. But he is the one who had the home run to seal the deal for the win the final game of the season. So I thought that was pretty apropos. And then it was nice to get Stephen Kwan an RBI hit as well, an RBI single or double rather as well. But there's been a lid on the bats. That's the best way I could put it. There's just been no hits in this entire series, Detroit included. Detroit is what, 2-for-14 with runners in scoring position themselves? So it's, you know, it's been one of those series where you're living and dying with every pitch and every hit because it's a low scoring affair. Now there's, you know, a runner on second and third right now, the guards have an opportunity to extend even more. But the game's not over. And that's why October baseball is the best, as Colin mentioned, man. We're living and dying with every single pitch. I know my man Christian Catt was living and dying every single pitch last night watching his Yankees and Red Sox do their thing as well. But, Colin, it's been a fun day in the office. You know, we've had the interns in. The interns have been doing all their stuff. You know, Colin, the best part is Colin managing the interns, by the way. It's great. You know, Colin managing the interns are doing their
thing.
Even
they're coming up to me. They're like, yeah, you're just going to watch the game all day?
No, it's gone.
Oh, wow, that's another one.
Three-run jack.
That's Bo Naylor.
Oh, man.
Two outs, bottom eight.
Let's
a three-run shot
for
Bo Naylor. That's going to be a 6-1 lead in game two. That will probably put them away as they look to close it out on the other side.
Let's go.
Wow. All right. That's enough of that.
Anyway, you manage the interns. They've been, you know, they took over my room today. They took it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to watch baseball all day. I got our HR representative, Anna Hag. I got her some cookies because I was a nuisance yesterday. I got out in front of it, and Colin and I have been sitting in front of the TV today watching baseball while managing the interns.
Watching a very slow-burn Cleveland Guardian-Detroit Tiger game, which has just been blown open a little bit. Cleveland, who doesn't score a lot of runs, who doesn't get a lot of hits, and is not a great offense, have exploded here in the eighth inning as the eighth inning just comes to a close just now with a line out. So there we go. Now the Tigers are going to have one more opportunity here to see if they can claw back into this, but all things point to a game three on that front. Here's a stat for you, Mike. Now, of the teams we talked about yesterday in the expanded format of the MLB postseason, the wild card format, the three-gamer series, since it started in 2022, teams that won game one are 12-0 in the series, in that wild card series if they win game one. All right, not a good stat for Cleveland Guardians. How about this? To win game two, the teams that do win game one, they have won game two 10 out of 12 times. So now the Guardians are now the third since the expanded to at least win game two. So there's an opportunity there for the Milwaukee Brewers won last year as well. So
correct.
It rarely goes to three games. And that now you're going to see that with the most likely with the Cleveland Guardians.
And your spirit, you lose that first game, your spirit is usually broken.
Yours.
You know how
yours
I was. Dude, I would, Colin,
you were crushed.
Colin in bed. I couldn't. I told you I woke up early and couldn't go to bed last night, man. I was tossing and turning like,
that has been the story of the Guardians all season long is they hang around. They're not going to out-talent anybody. They're not going to out. I mean, they have good pitching, but not great pitching. They're not going to out-pitch anybody. They're just going to hang there.
Yeah.
And they're going to hold tight until somebody does something.
The run that they went on the last 20, 25 games, they had unbelievable starting pitching. And the bullpen, you know, is with Tim Herron as the lefty and Cade Smith as the knockout punch in the ninth inning after Class A got pinched with Gamble.
But they got burned, but they lost two, you know, Class A impact, got two impact bullpen guys that got out of the mix in Ortiz and Class A because they were actively betting against themselves.
Right. And then Louis, the starter, and then Class A obviously getting pinched as well as, you know, the best closer in baseball. So I think they rallied around that too, though, Kyle. Like, they used that as a rallying point. You know, they traded Shane Bieber, whose jersey I have on today, but love Biebs. But they traded Bieber, and they used those two things. You know, they lost their leader in the locker room, and they lost their best bullpen pitcher, and they rallied around it, and fair play to him. But listen, this game's not over. Got news for you.
Mike and I just watched the Guardians game for the past three. It started at 1:08. About 3 hours, we just sat and watched it and waited for the show.
But here's the thing. I did enter Miami last night. I got home around, 10:30, 10:45. I did my obligations that I have in the morning, and I knew that's what today was going to be. I knew that's what today was going to be, and that's why I got out in front, getting Anna cookies, because I knew Kyle and I were going to be locked into the game.
That was, you didn't need to get anybody cookies.
Yeah, we did.
That was a waste of time.
Yeah, we did, because I lost
my... That was a waste of time.
I lost my mind yesterday.
That was a waste of time.
And Anna and I were friends, too, out of the office. That was the most angry I've ever seen her in my life. So, like, I screwed up there. You know what I mean?
I don't think she was that upset.
She was upset, dude. I've never seen Anna that upset.
Well, you got so many cookies to make up for it. And on the other side of things, we got the Guardians looking to close things out. We'll give you updates as we get closer. But Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Catt. Speaking of Christian Catt, the New York Yankees had a game yesterday at Yankee Stadium. Their game won 6-0-8. A superb, dramatic baseball game that was. A very intense affair between two aces, two of the best starting pitchers in the American League, Max Fried and Garrett Crochet. And it turned out to be a game where, the Yankees were able to strike first. Anthony Volpe, who was able to get a home run and take the lid off the game a little bit in the second inning. But outside of that, it was a whole lot of nothing. A couple opportunities here and there, but as a 1-0 ball game in the seventh inning, what happened is, after one batter that Fried got out, Aaron Boone, the manager of the New York Yankees, comes in and he takes out Max Fried, who was at around 100 pitches, 101, 102 pitches, and he was seeing the number 8 and 9 guy in that Boston lineup. So he was going through, and then all of a sudden they bring in Luke Weaver, who's been their 7-hole guy the entire year. He's been their guy for the seventh inning. And they go to him. He immediately gets ahead of the first batter, Rafaela, and then he walks him. And then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose, and the Red Sox are able to put two on the board, take the lead. Out goes Weaver, and then all of a sudden, it's scratching and clawing your way to the end of the game. And now it's the ending to close out the game. For those who didn't see, bottom of the ninth inning, down 3-1 because Bregman was able to get a single RBI. In the top of the ninth, so it's a 3-1 ball game. Yankees come out. They got Paul Goldschmidt, who's their leadoff man, starting things off. They get three straight singles on Aroldis Chapman, who came in the eighth inning. And then all of a sudden, they got bases loaded, no outs against Chapman. Chapman goes 1-2-3 down. Game over.
Yep.
How about that?
It was top of the lineup. And, you know, if you're a Yankee fan, it's like, oh, God forbid, you know, that Judge or Bellinger is able to rope a double and one of those come across, he gets
some
momentum.
They got on base. Bases loaded with no outs.
Give me the stat. Give me the stat you told me last night about getting bases loaded.
They're the first team in postseason history to get bases loaded, no outs, and to not score a singular run in a postseason.
You want to know what I call that? The Chapman effect, mate. That's what that is. That brother,
nails.
He is still
tough.
Dude, he's throwing 101. He was throwing 101 in 2016. I don't know, it was 9 years ago. He's still throwing 101 9 years later. That guy is an absolute machine. You give him all the credit in the world for getting out of a situation like that. Couple of things on the game. Tough break. Tough break taking Fried out there. You saw Crochet pitch 117 pitches and go into the seventh. Cora thought he saw enough in the seventh. He pulled Crochet. I understand why Yankee fans are upset.
Everybody's throwing a huge fit about Boone pulling Max Fried.
Let him finish the inning. How about that? Because you pulled him with one out already, and he's rolling. If you let him come out for the sixth inning at 100, at basically 100 pitches anyway, let him go the inning. It's the playoffs. And I know the Yankees have bought all the bullpen arms possible on the market the last couple of months. And if you're Boone, you're like, all right, I got all these guys at my disposal. I like this matchup. I'm going to go to this. I thought he overthunk it. He overthunk it. Stay with Fried that inning and then go to Weaver in the seventh. I felt bad for Weaver, though. That brother didn't even get an out. There was one out in the inning. He walks a guy, two hits, two earned, yank, 15 pitches already out of the game.
And the thing about him is he was their closer last year, and he was pretty good.
Yep.
He was really good.
Yep.
He was really good out of the pen last year, and he was actually really solid throughout the year, but he had a bad September, which is why everybody was upset, because why are you putting in Luke Weaver? I don't care if he's your seven man. He's had a bad September, really bad, and they threw him in there in a high-leverage situation. Up one, and he immediately throws it away.
And then, and you know, Bednar, too, a guy you went out and got at the deadline, he gave up that run to Bregman.
That exact reason is why I can't pin this on Boone. Because everybody wants to go out and say Aaron Boone, he definitely overmanaged the game. There is no doubt about that. And that's not just the pitching moves that he made in the seventh inning. That's about who he played. He left Jazz Chisholm on the bench to start the game. He left Ben Rice, who's been playing well, on the bench because, you know, the stats against the left-handed starters, whatever it might have been. He left those guys on the bench, left a lot of offensive production there. And in a game where the Yankees had bases loaded, bottom nine, no outs, bases loaded, and they couldn't get one guy in, that's a hitting problem. That, to me, that was the biggest problem in the game. They can't hit. They couldn't hit in a high-leverage situation. The Yankees' problem is the same problem that they've had for probably 7 years, ever since Boone was there. If they do not hit home runs, they do not win the game.
Yeah, and it was a tough break, Kevin Stanton strike out with the bases loaded, no outs, too. That guy has been...
And you don't want anybody else but Stanton in that spot.
Exactly.
And Chapman really locked in, and he was hitting 95 at the beginning of the inning, and then he starts hitting 101. It tells you that, number one, Alex Cora managed a heck of a game by getting him in the eighth when they didn't think they needed him, and they didn't go the setup man, and instead they went Chapman. There was a lot of good decisions that the Boston Red Sox made situationally that the Yankees did not. The Yankees... If there's something I could give Boone a lot of flack for, it's this. Boone probably could have told you what he was going to do with the bullpen 2 days in advance. He probably could have told you that at some point in the sixth, or at some point around then, the seventh, some point, he was going to consider pulling out Freed, he was going to put in Weaver, then he's going to finally find a way to get to Williams, and then Bednar.
Yep.
He probably could have told you that 2 days out. That is the problem. He already has the plan of how he thinks it should go, and he's going to do it hell or high water, good or bad.
Do you blame that, though? Because that's what, I mean, to be fair, that's what a lot of teams do. They have their seventh inning guy, you got your eighth inning, ninth inning.
You're going to go to Bednar regardless, and Bednar gave up a go-ahead run.
He did.
So it wasn't a go-ahead in the spot, but he gave up another run when the Yankees couldn't score. That's why I can't put a ton of crap on Boone. Now, did Boone make mistakes on not playing Chisholm and Rice?
The card.
Yes. Did he not pinch run Dominguez instead of Goldschmidt at first base when he first got on? He should have done that. Should he have played Caballero at third base? He probably shouldn't have. There was a ton of different things that he could have changed. But yanking Freed there for Weaver, it was more about him overmanaging the game and him and lacking a feel. There was no feel. Now, the problem is, was the move wrong? Absolutely. His move pulling Freed was wrong.
Agreed.
You're on the same page.
Agreed. You brought him out in the sixth. Let him pitch the inning. You already got it out.
Against the 8 and 9. I understand not seeing the lineup again. I understand that. 8 and 9, you let him go. But Bednar still gave up a run. Bednar would have been pitching regardless.
Yep.
And he still gave up a run.
But like at this point, if you let Freed, Kyle, pitch this, if you let him go the whole inning, then you could bring in Weaver. Then you bring in Bednar. Then you end the game with Hill. Like, I don't know. I just think it's elementary, the fact that you let him go. Why let him get one out and pull him out of the game? That's elementary to me. That's overthinking it. That's getting in your head and going.
He's thinking about the pitch count. He's thinking about having him healthy. I'm like, dude, Garrett Crochet on the other side, I mean, just went 117 and had a pretty remarkable gem.
You took the words right out of my mouth. He started looking at the pitch count and started getting hurt about... Or started getting worried about, hey, Freed, a guy who has historically been hurt, I can't have him go 110. Brother, this is the playoffs. It's win or go. It's a 3-game series. It's not a 5-game series either. You're not getting a lot of chances at this. That's why we're living and dying with every pitch with our favorite teams in these godforsaken wild card series. All right? It's tough. You got to go with your gut. Your gut said pitch this guy one more inning. You can't pull him. I think the Yankees, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but it is going to come down to that godforsaken bullpen again tonight. You know it is. You know it's going to come down to Williams.
You've
been hanging on for dear life with Williams.
They need to hit. That's it. They couldn't hit. couldn't hit in a big spot. High leverage hitting. And Judge even had a two. Judge had a good game.
He had a good game. I'm not going to.
Two hits. Can't blame Judge. You can't hit. He's playing Caballero and Amed Rosario because they're great against Crochet and lefties, and the guys can't hit.
That's what you get him on.
And you had Ben Rice sitting there on the bench who's hit well, and you don't like him against lefties, so you wanted to save him for Garrett Whitlock, who was the set. Because I couldn't stop saying it on the broadcast. Garrett Whitlock, who's their setup man in the eighth inning. And what does Cora do? He keeps Crochet longer, and then all of a sudden he goes to Chapman in the eighth, so you keep Rice on the bench. That's managing. That's having a feel. I am not a Boone fan. I would say fire Boone tomorrow.
Do you pinch hit Grisham at the end of the game?
I do not. No.
Three Ks?
No.
Struck out for the fourth time. He had the golden sombrero last night?
Probably not.
Fair enough.
Probably not. Not against Chapman.
I'm with you on...
Because the thing is, they wanted Rice against a righty anyway.
Here's the thing. I'm with you on the number one thing we need to get on Boone for is the card he turned in and the lineup he put out. That's the number one
thing.
You're
overmanaging the game.
Correct. You need to get on him for the starting nine, for the guys that you had in the lineup. I understand the Freed stuff. That's very unfortunate, guys. Like Weaver, who's been, you know, in that spot. And game Weaver's, in and game out.
He's been a pretty good postseason pitcher, and he had a bad September. Is it the right move? Absolutely not. He should have kept Freed in there because trust your ace. You only get your ace once in this series. Trust him. There's no doubt about that. But it's not like Bednar came in. He gave up a run, too. The Yankees couldn't hit. That, to me, was a bigger... You're going to score one run and expect to escape? Nobody wants to deal with that. That's why I get a little... There's a little bit of a defense mechanism that I have with Boone here because the Yankees just straight up... The pitchers that they trust all year couldn't pitch and the hitters that they've trusted all year couldn't hit.
To your credit, the easy take is to get on Boone. The easy take is That's to get it. On Boone right now.
He's been doing that all year. Right. They've been doing Weaver, Williams, exactly. Bednar all year long.
And my pushback on that, too, is every single manager... has a picture painted in their mind how they want. You want your starter
and
to pitch six
that's
innings,
where it's a problem.
And then you want to go 7, 8, 9.
That's where his problem was, because he was thinking too hard into the plan rather than the feel of the game.
Let's get on the Yankee hitters for having bases loaded, no outs, and the most clutch hitter ever in Giancarlo Stanton coming up.
That's it.
And he struck out.
That's it.
Okay?
And then Jazz Chisholm comes in, who's post-game saying, you got to do whatever it takes to win. If I don't need to play, I don't need to play. Well, you came in, you're a 164 postseason hitter, and you didn't do anything either. I know it was a flyer, but you didn't do anything either.
He didn't hit it deep enough. That's and
well, it's also
it's that right field.
They didn't, and they also didn't pinch hit pinch run Goldschmidt, who's
right.
50 years old.
Who's slower than molasses.
So that's why
in January.
It's a tricky spot as the Guardians close things out. They had bases loaded, top nine. Cade Smith, a little bit of a hole, but they had a five-run lead.
Hold it
so
away.
It was no problem. Guardians win game two. They force game three, which will be tomorrow. But the Yankees, 8-8, 7-6-0, 37-76, a terrific baseball game against the Boston Red Sox yesterday. Are your team... Blame the players more than the manager here, or do you blame Aaron Boone above all else for the Yankees not closing out Game 1 of the Wild Card Series? Now back against the wall. We continue the conversation. We get into it a little further because I would make the argument that the Red Sox needed that game more than the Yankees. We got a lot more to come. That's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Go download the South Florida app today, the ESPN South Florida app. It is free to download. If you miss anything of what Mike and I are saying, you miss anything of what Theoretically Speaking with Theo Dorsey and Christian Katt have said. If you miss any of the weekend programming, including our extended high school coverage, which is on Friday nights from Palm Beach County through the Treasure Coast, that is all on the ESPN South Florida app. Inter-Miami English and Spanish broadcasts, a ton of games, including the Florida Panthers, all going to be in one spot. Go down on the App Store today. Don't miss a beat with South Florida Sports, ESPN South Florida app. We take a time out here. It's Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
888-760-3776. Number to get into the program. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3 with Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, and Christian Katt. Go start your week. Go start your days with an important victory over at F45. There's nothing like getting a sweat in 45 minutes or less. That's what F45 has to offer. It's class style, so you can do it all throughout the morning or the afternoon. It's more functional sizes of working out, just kind of get your heart rate up, making sure you're staying flexible, mobile, and more importantly, building strength. You could do that over in F45 at downtown West Palm Beach. You could find that studio near you, F45 online, or check out their Instagram, F45 downtown West Palm Beach. Palm Beach. I love it because you can just kind of turn your brain off, and all of a sudden, 45 minutes pass by, and then you're good to go. You got a full sweat going, your heart rate is up, and you feel great about the rest of your day. There's something about starting your day off with a win, and go do it at F45 West Palm Beach. 888-760-3776. Who do you blame for that Yankee Red Sox debacle yesterday? The best game of yesterday's slate of baseball. Red Sox were able to steal the first one at Yankee Stadium. Now, Yankees facing elimination here after winning 90 games, facing elimination with Carlos Rodon on the mound at Yankee Stadium. That is tonight, 6 o'clock on ESPN. I'd make the argument, however, that going into the game, Lucas Giolito, who's the Mets' number two guy, the Red Sox number two guy, they knew that Giolito had elbow issues and he wasn't going to be pitching, at least for the next week or two at the very least. That made that game one an ultra important game. Yankees probably have a little bit more pitching depth, and the Yankees have a lot more offense than what the Red Sox do.
Right.
The Red Sox needed to capitalize on their best pitcher going, especially game one. That was a more important victory. I understand Fried is sort of the same thing with the Yankees, but the Yankees have more offense to make up for it. The Red Sox needed that game one. They needed it. And I know this is a short series, so everybody needs game one, but in terms of, it's like the Tigers winning when Scooble's on the mound.
I was just about to say, that's a correlation.
You need to win that game. Yep. That was the most important game of the possible three, because if you wasted your ace, a Cy Young, probably the AL Cy Young pitching, that would have been viewed as a complete failure.
Agreed. And it's, you know, it's Bello on the bump tonight. The Red Sox not necessarily swimming in depth with starting pitching.
Yeah, he's been a good player, but yes, it's a dangerous spot.
I think both of these teams are going to be dipping in the bullpen by the middle of the fifth inning, sixth inning type thing. Now, I think Rodon might surprise a couple of people.
He's had a good year.
I think he'll actually pitch pretty well. The story of Russo and Rizzo today is that the Yankees couldn't hit. It's why they lost. And when I'm breaking this game down or however the way you shake it, I blame Stanton, I blame Chisholm, and I blame Grisham, the three guys who laid an egg with the
and
bases
Weaver.
Loaded.
Weaver didn't do
Correct.
What he was supposed to do.
I mean, Weaver in 15 pitches gave up two runs and a walk.
Yep.
I mean,
and brother. He was up 2-0 on the 0-2 on the first guy. So.
Two hits, two earned, and a walk, and you didn't even get an out when you had one out in the inning from Max Fried. So those were the big storylines. Those were the big storylines. And listen, like I said, I stand by what I said too about Boone. The easy take is to blame Boone. I get it. That's the easy take. The blame Boone for taking out Fried and to go into the bullpen so early. Was it the wrong move? Absolutely. But bases loaded, no outs. Mate, figure it out. Figure it out. You have to figure it out in that situation. I know Chapman's a tough out. I know he's throwing 101. Somehow, someway, 9 years later, the guy's still hitting 101 on the gun. But in three at least the first two, like Grisham, you kind of knew, like, oh, God, too much pressure. But, you know, he's been a good hitter all year, which Christian Catt told me in the break. I don't know. Three strikeouts. You'd think maybe Ben Rice in that moment. Whatever. Okay, whatever. But I think when it comes to the Yanks, you're going to have to hit. And this is a team that has made a living in the playoffs off of big-time home runs. That's what separates the Yankees, and as Christian and you call them, the meddling teams in the Central. The Yankees could get those game-changing home runs with one swing of the bat and change the momentum of games. They've been doing it for the last 3-4 years in the playoffs. Last year with Juan Soto. Last year with Giancarlo Stanton against the Guardians and the other opponents they face in the AL. They could change. They're one of those teams who pay to be able to change the game in one swing of the bat. You didn't get that last night, and that's why you lost.
Can't hit in a big spot. And the one thing, if you're going to play is Boone, blame on blame. You could go in a couple directions. But not playing your best players in a game where all your best players need to be playing, especially offensively, is overmanaging. Trying to get too hard in the nitty-gritty of matchups and righty versus lefties, you got to play your best players. Ben Rice was on the pine the entire game. Jazz Chisholm had one at bat, and I understand Jazz Chisholm's not an all-star postseason player, but he's had a good year, and he steals bags. So you got a guy who could get onto base and be a threat.
Yeah.
Overmanaging.
It was.
You're getting in your own way. You're getting in your own way, and leave it to the Yankees, where Judge is actually hitting well in the postseason. I know he didn't have a homer. He's hitting well in the postseason. They get eliminated in two. Yeah. That would be pure Yankees.
It would, but two singles for Judge. I thought he played well, and he gave this team an opportunity in the ninth inning to either A, win the game with a walk-off, And instead, Chapman strikes out the side. So
can we, know, can we, can we give Chapman a little credit?
Dude, absolutely. He's under IAP.
Unbelievable. 16 years this guy's been in the league. He doesn't have elbow injuries. He doesn't have shoulder injuries. He pumps 102 consistently.
Cohen,
the guy is a freak of nature.
I saw this guy in 16, you know, and granted, the guards were, he was throwing 116.
Right.
Cohen, it's 9 years ago. It's 2025. Yeah. How old were you 9 years ago? I mean, my God, I was in college.
He's got two rings. He won with the Rangers, and he won again with the Cubs. I mean, this guy has got two rings and has been in every postseason spot imaginable. Now, the thing is for the Yankees, he wasn't as reliable as he was last night. But, I mean, for somebody who, when you get their best, they are unhittable. Point, example 1A is Aroldis Chapman.
Yep, and it didn't shock me at all, the fact that he was able to maneuver out of that inning. And fair point. How about Cora? Hang on. The you-know-what's on Cora to stick with him in that situation.
I agree. I was thinking about getting rid of him.
To not panic to the bullpen in a situation like that. I might dislike Cora for being a part of the cheating scandal, but just like that you-know-what Hinch, they're good. They know how to manage baseball, and you got to give them credit.
And they were right on it, because apparently with him, what he needs is a proper warm-up, because when you have him warm up in the eighth, and then he comes in for the last out of the eighth inning, and then he goes to sit for 15, 20 minutes.
Hate it.
And then he comes back, and then he's sort of got to get warmed up again. And then you could tell, because his first five pitches, you get three singles. After that, he's warmed up. He's sweating. And that's what they kept saying in the podcast. Oh, he's sweating. He's dangerous now.
Yes.
And then he starts pumping 102, you know, placing everything perfectly at the plate. Chapman is that was an unbelievably gutty performance.
And that's why, Colin, with what you just said about bringing the guy out for another inning, I can't stand that. I am the baseball fan. If my closer has already pitched an inning, that's it. He's done. He's supposed to only pitch one inning. That's why I give Cora a lot of credit for sticking with him, even when the bases were juiced with the likes of the Yankee lineup, who, you know, the Yankees, I go back to what I said. They're one of those teams, like the Dodgers and company, that could change the game with one. They have the Stantons. They have the Judge. They even say, dude, Goldie, Belly, these guys could go yard at any moment. It just didn't happen for him last night. And we could sit here and blame Boone. You could blame Boone, fine.
Wait, he deserves to blame.
He does. But in
that's
the
not end, all on him.
They were good enough to win that game last night. And I'm kind of like, I know you're on him for you knew what he was going to do, but that's what every manager in baseball does.
No, not
mate.
With him.
That's what every manager does.
He could have told you 3 days in advance he was going to go Weaver, Williams, Bednar. And he doesn't read the room that your starter's playing great and you got to keep him in. That was the problem that
sure,
I had.
Sure, but at the same time, you knew that you were going to see Weaver, you were going to see Bednar, you were going to see Williams. Like, I don't know. I think you got to get on the lineup more. Like, 102 pitches a lot. It is. But Colin and I are both on the same wavelength. So if you went with them in that inning, you finish with them. You don't panic, take them out, and put in a bullpen arm. You wait until the inning. Have Fried make you take them out. If he puts two runners on after he gets that out, fine. We're having different conversations today. Especially against the 8-9.
This is not the fresh part of the lineup. This is not seeing them for the fourth time. This is going against 8-9.
I'm not
going
to get on Boone for putting Bednar and the guys he put in the game. Strategically, he put Weaver in at the wrong moment.
You were
moment.
Going Williams and Bednar regardless.
I'm fine with that, and I'm okay with that.
No Weaver. When I understand that, because Weaver hasn't had a good September. I understand you didn't need him in that spot. I understand that. You could save him for another day. But Bednar gave up a run, and you had bases loaded, bottom nine, with no outs, and you couldn't get anything in, not even one run in. First team in the history of baseball in the bottom of the ninth to have the bases loaded, no outs, and not get a run in, and then lose the game.
At home.
Christian Catt is our in-house producer and our sort of Yankee fan that is with us now. Christian, who do you place the blame on for yesterday's debacle?
It's taken Fried out, and the knife was twisted in the back of each and every Yankees fan when you see in the other dugout what Crochet did.
Yeah.
Like, that should have been me, right? That's the feeling. I imagine that this year Fried's the ace for the Yankees because of the Gerrit Cole injury. You think Aaron Boone is going to take the ball from Gerrit Cole in that exact moment with the same exact pitch count? We've seen Gerrit Cole talk himself into staying into regular season games. I think it was new guy in the block, doesn't have much pull in that dugout like Gerrit Cole has. So Boone could just take the ball out of his hand.
That's a good point. I do think he would have kept Colin in that spot. So there's a good, I guess, parallel there. But
it hurts so much. And then, of course, with former Yankee Chapman mowing them down and one, again, two, three,
and
after
and
loading the bases.
He would never do for the Yankees.
Didn't do. Had the opportunities to do. Facing the Astros during his Yankees tenure. It was so, so painful. And I felt really comfortable with two of the three batters that were in the box when the bases were loaded. Where Stanton's been a playoff hero, and Grisham's been a clutch hero in 2025 for the Yankees. It just really stung. But, you know, them's the breaks.
You got to hit in big spots. Your pitchers have to pitch in their spots, and your hitters have to hit in their spots, and that's exactly what didn't happen.
And you know what? I mean, situationally hitting, you know, you got two big home run hitters, really three guys that oftentimes do swing for the fences in big moments. Stanton in the playoffs reaches over the fence when he does do that more often than not. But bases loaded, nobody out. Two sack flies. You're tying the ball game.
Yeah.
Situational hitting would have been really nice in that moment.
Situational base running, that's why I said, too. You could have pinch run Goldschmidt, and all of a sudden you might score one.
More than one way to skin a cat, and they know one way.
We all agree Boone made the wrong move taking Fried out, but you got to score. You got to score. I know I sound like a broken record, but you got to score in that moment.
Yeah, in the first inning, they had two runners on.
That too.
And then double play by Stan. It stinks.
Yeah.
And that's why Major League Baseball postseason is absolutely broken. How the team that had the best record in the American League is now forced to win a three-game series is gross and disgusting. And they need to expand the amount of games and the sample size to match what you have in baseball with a 162-game regular season. I rest my case.
So here's what I don't like. First of all, the best record, tied for the best record in the American League. And that's number
one.
No
one had a better record than that.
And number two, you know what's funny? The New York Mets had 101 wins 2 years ago, and they lost to the Padres in this very spot. No Yankee fan complained then. So there's one thing to be said. It's because it happened to the Yankees, now it needs to change.
I've always been a proponent, and I'm going to run for office on this campaign, that the World Series should be a nine-game series.
All right.
Both series before that should be seven games, and five-game series for the wild card, if not more.
When do you want to finish the season? In Thanksgiving? I mean, you're adding this is 7-7-7-7. It adds two weeks to the postseason.
Boys, I want to feel bad for Christian, but I can't. Yeah, bases loaded, no outs. You got to win that game at home.
You shouldn't feel bad for me whatsoever because I pick every moment possible to rub it in and the salt in the wound as your Cleveland fan.
It's all right.
So don't.
It's okay. But you know who I am, and I'm a softie at heart. And watching that game,
and I don't feel bad
about
the Yankee fan complaining about the actual playoff format because they had every opportunity to win that game. And you can make that argument, too. And there was the one game for years, and the Yankees got burned by that, and then they changed it. And then they added another team to be added into the postseason.
But that's
the game of a lot of sample size. That's the problem.
That's exactly what, Kyle, what you said there. That's what I meant with the bases loaded. Like, it's hard to feel bad when you had the game in your hands and on your home field. Like, you said two sack flies. Brother, a single. A barrel. A barrel gets the job done there, so...
But the way baseball works is that you're a Hall of Famer if you're successful 3 out of 10 times that moment. And you're only going to get two of those times. So the better team does not always win. More often than not, the better team doesn't win the World Series.
That's fine. And that's baseball. So the one thing, if you're trying to lean into the argument that the best team who over 162 should always be the best team to come out of the postseason, that's the wrong idea of what you're looking for in the postseason. It's about who's hot at the right time, what pitchers are hot at the right time, and who can situationally hit to win them ball games.
See, but that's how it's been. That's not what it should be.
No, because what you're saying it should be is let's crown our champion because we know after 162 games that this is the best team in the American League. Let's make way with the postseason, have them win the AL pennant like they did in the old days, and have them play the NL winner. That's essentially what you're saying. You just want more opportunity either for the team to continue to blow. You know, there's no guarantee that the Yankees would win in a 5-7 game series against the Boston Red Sox.
Agreed.
I do like the idea. You know, I might be in the minority here. Maybe the stats don't add up because of the 12-0 if you win game one, and the Padres just had a 2-run shot by Machado, so they're going to force a game three as well.
Top five.
But point being, I like the best of three because it feels like a game five immediately. It feels like a 2-2 game five. And you and all your pitchers, you could kind of go in any direction. See, I like that. It feels like a crucial
pressure's on.
Pitch by pitch, player by player, position by position, playoff game. Now, that's what baseball's about.
And quickly, Christian, the one thing I'll sit and listen from Yankee fan is playing the Red Sox. Fine. I'll listen to that. If you
I
want,
can listen to the format in terms of sure, who you play. Sure. That I can listen I will to, listen not to the amount of games.
As a Guardian fan playing Detroit, oh, God, watching those two teams last time, you know, I'd much rather see Detroit. Now that after watching those teams, Kyle, remember yesterday I said anyone but the Tigers, I wouldn't want to see the Red Sox. I don't want to see Chapman yet. I don't want to see the Yankees. I don't want to see Judge and Stanton. So, like, I understand. If you have an issue with who you're playing, we could fix that easily. I am one of those people that's in the minority. I don't think you need to change a thing.
You think they perfected it?
I don't think you need to change a thing.
You're
it's baseball. It's baseball. It doesn't bounce your way. Like, you win your division. Brother, I can't handle.
I don't think the format is perfected in terms of seeding, but actually in terms of the number of games, I could hear the argument for making the divisional series a best of seven. Other than that, I like the wild card being shorter.
Like
here's
my pushback. I think the winner of Yankees and Red Sox is going to the World Series. That's my pushback. Win the series. The Yanks had a chance to win last night. Win the game. And it's not over, by the way.
That is such a contradictory statement. If the better two teams are in a less advantageous position, they should be treated as such. They should be treated like the two better teams.
And you can bring this up with Toronto, too, because Toronto also had the best record in the American League, and they're sitting there having to play the winner of this very series comparatively to the terrible offenses we saw in the Cleveland-Detroit series. So there's something to be said about who plays who when.
We sign up as baseball fans knowing that majority of the time the ball's not going to bounce your way. You could be the better team and lose the game. Like, that's baseball, right? And I can't, like, the teams that spend a boatload of money right now, the Blue Jays and the Yankees. I personally think the Blue Jays are phony. When the hell was the last time they won a playoff series that was worth a damn?
They lost their last six in the wild card.
That's what I mean. So, like, I think it's awesome, and Red Sox and Yankee fan would disagree, but as a neutral, it's great you're getting Red Sox-Yankee in the wild card series. Are you kidding me? The stakes of it, the pressure of it.
It feels like a game five.
Yeah, and I don't think
there
the Yankees are
two people that
dead.
Don't have any skin in the game.
I don't think
I was an Athletics fan, and we lost the one game wild card for 3 years in a row. I don't want to hear it. It burned us more than it burned anybody. I get it, but there is something to be said about the quickness of the baseball postseason and the strategy that it goes in. You could start to sort of relax when you get to the championship series because you're going to see these starters twice, which is why it gets interesting because it's sprint, then slow down. It's marathon, sprint, sort of sprint, and then you get to sort of slow down in the marathon.
And that's why another reason why the regular season matters is because of the seeding. I'm sure there are plenty of series that the Yankees watch or look back and go, ugh, if we beat that godforsaken team, we win the division and we're not.
If they beat the Blue Jays in the division,
like I just said, that's my pushback. You play 162 games, win the division then. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat on the June nights and the June weekdays.
Yeah, but the one thing Christian does have a point with is usually that 4-5 series, you know, the 4-5 seeding is usually really, really good teams that, you know, because you're not playing one of the divisional winners, Cleveland in this case. And Cleveland is worse than both of those teams. There's an argument. There's definitely an argument to be made in that, just off the eye test as well.
For sure.
That's where the seeding and the format could have its issues. I don't think the right teams are in the right spots at the right times. But I actually like the 3-5-7. I do. I like 3-5-7-7. If you want to go 7-7-7-7, then you're talking about, you know, and I'm fine with it. You're talking about 6-7 weeks of baseball, which is a little different because you're competing against football season. You're getting into the winter months. Logistically, it's a lot of issues.
I also think these teams vary by year. Like, if you go back to 14, 15, 16, the Central was great with the Indians and the Royals. And then the Houston Astros took over. You know, like, it changes year by year. I know you guys are down on the Central, and rightfully so. They can't hit. But their style of baseball might get you a couple of games. It didn't get the Yankees last year, and fair play to them. They had Soto and Stanton step up and hit nukes on the road. And that's what money buys you. But what I'm saying is this stuff changes year by year. We can't just sit here and say the Central stinks and that's how it's going to be every single year.
No,
Kyle, you push back. And listen, fair play to you, because I'm going to compare it to something. You tell me with the ACC. And I'm going to give you credit. The ACC is better this year. As a Big Ten stan that I am, and it's similar to Christian being a Yankee fan. I'm a little high and mighty as an Ohio State fan. Fine. Christian's the same way as a Yankee fan. My pushback to you was I need four teams out of the Big Ten. But your pushback was, Mike, there are going to be good teams in the ACC.
I have no problem with the ACC. I have no problem with the automatic winners.
But like, that's why I don't want to change the seedings because the right, it makes the regular season games mean more. Yeah. And I think the Central teams and the AL West teams will be better in some of the years than the AL East teams.
No, I agree with you, and you're right. In principle, I completely agree. You got to keep the marathon structure of the division, winning the division, important. You got to keep it important in Major League Baseball. There's got to be a way around it. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you right now. But, I mean, unless Toronto goes in, let's say Yankees get a little bit of momentum, they win the next two. Then they go right into Toronto. And remember, the same argument we made last year was the teams going into it and playing in the wild card series actually had an advantage going into the divisional series because they didn't have a week off. You didn't necessarily lose all your mojo and your juice going into that series. That was the problem coming into last year. And then all of a sudden, that went away because all the teams that were in that spot were okay. And then we could turn around and looked and thought, all right, well, you know, they didn't get totally burned by it last year. The three of the four moved on who had the buys. Therefore, it's no longer an issue. This is a case-by-case basis. It's a year-by-year thing. But I understand Christian's point because especially the seeding. But with the amount of games, I think the idea behind expanding the postseason, adding an extra team on each league, and having a three-game sprint wildcard series is to give the Guardians of the world, they didn't show it last night, to give the Reds of the world a shot.
Yeah.
Reds most likely cannot keep up with the Los Angeles Dodgers in a seven-game series. The Reds are an 80-win team, an 84-win team. The Dodgers are a very great, you know, low 90-win team. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I think the idea of the sprint gives the little guy a little bit more of a chance. And I think that actually makes it interesting. That's why the Red Sox, who have played well, the Yankees great in the postseason, regardless of the fact, I think that's why it's interesting. The Yankees got a little bit more firepower and talent, but the sprint facet gives the little guy a chance. And I actually think that leans into the idea very fun.
I think Seattle and the Blue Jays, they're watching these games. And even the teams on the NL who have the bye, they're watching these wild card series and going, thank God we're not playing. Thank God we don't have to do that. And that's your reward for having the better record and or being the better team to win your division.
That they don't come out flat.
Correct.
It did happen 2 years ago when all four teams lost.
Yes.
So it could always happen.
I'm not saying, but that's the beauty of baseball.
Russo and Rizzo, Christian Catt, Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. We'll take a time out here, ESPN 106.3. I'm only human, yo.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Well, if you had some fun on the Hard Rock Bet app, maybe you live bet the Red Sox last night when they were down 1-0 throughout, and then before the seventh when Weaver came in, all of a sudden you're the rich one on the app. That's the type of thing you could do on the Hard Rock Bet app.
I mean, I'm looking at these Yankee lines right now. You know, Christian Catt, our Yankee fan, which we'll get to in a second. Yanks on the money line, minus 210, by the way. So big, heavy favorites for the Yanks tonight. Guys, if you like Boston to end things, plus 175. All these odds coming with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. Yankees on the run line, -1.5 is plus 100. And then Red Sox, if you want to take the plus odds on the run line, +1.5, minus 125. So our good friends at Hard Rock Bet thinks this is going to be a pretty close game tonight. And folks, with Hard Rock Bet, the party is always on, and you're always on that guest list. Sign up today, bet $5 on any game, and if you win, you could also score $150 in bonus bets, a winning bet, and a boosted bankroll. Now that's how you get a party started. We got football season in full swing as well. Touchdown win games, and they win bets too. Pick your favorite player to hit the pay dirt on those anytime touchdown bets. I always love taking those for all my favorite teams when it comes to the NFL. And the dogs are, and if you think the dogs are barking, if you got an underdog pick you like, go with that gut feeling with our good friends at Hard Rock Bet. And don't forget too, MMA, there's a great promo going on. If you step into the cage and bet on the biggest names in MMA with three 20% profit boosts for the 320 fights this Saturday, you can make your picks pack more of a powerful punch. That is all their good friends at Hard Rock Bet, offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. If you're concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMINUTE. Playoff baseball, college football, NFL football, MMA, all of it with Hard Rock Bet.
We talked about overmanaging and sometimes managers getting too involved in making changes. Now, they haven't gotten burned by it yet, But the San Diego Padres are at Wrigley Field playing for their playoff lives. They had Dylan Cease on the mound, who had pitched well against the Cubs, but somebody who most notably was on the trading block, hasn't been great on the road, has had a rough year, all things considered. He comes in, he allows three hits over about three innings and two-thirds, five strikeouts, no runs, and they pull him. 60-something pitches. 68 pitches. Have Mike and I watched the second and third inning as closely because of the show starting? No. But 69 pitches, pulling your starter, going immediately to the bullpen, kind of screams to me like a little bit of overmanaging.
Yeah, and I mentioned the Padres are similar to the Yankees, where they bought a lot of bullpen arms.
Oh, they did.
And
they buy every year.
Correct. And I think Mike Schilt probably saw something he didn't like with Cease or whatever. I think Schilt's a great manager, personally.
Three and two-thirds, getting him out of there is a little rough, unless you're planning on that from the beginning. And that's where you get burned, because you're over-managing the game and trying to go via the plan and not via feel.
But they're going with Morejon again, and we'll have to see how it plays out. But I think Schilt confident in the bullpen arms that they acquired, not only at the deadline, but also before the season.
Do you think would give, of these two teams, the Cubs and the Padres, who do you think would give Milwaukee a better fight?
I think the Cubs, because of the division.
It's been a division that...
I think
that,
the Cubs, because of the division.
Now, keep in mind, the Brewers have played well against the Cubs.
I understand. But I also selfishly want to see Council versus his former team. And I think with the Cubs are that team. I've been bringing it up with the Yankees. They have the players with one swing of the bat, boom, you're right back into the game, or you're extending your lead. The Cubbies had that with Seiya Suzuki, Pete Coro Armstrong, and that great lineup. I mean, they even have a guy like Nico Horner, too, who's going to bat 300 and steal 35, 40 bases. So I think with the Cubbies, the question was bullpen arms. Now, Imananga got touched up. You know, Imananga was the pitch who got touched up in this
Cubs
game.
Cubs are like the Yankees. If they don't hit home runs and they don't score runs, they're not going to win the game.
I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to go with the Cubs, because I think it's harder with these divisional opponents who know each other very well. They turn into crazy games. Like, look at that Detroit and Cleveland series right now. Scooble had 14 Ks yesterday. It sat down the guards. And then in one inning, the Guardians were able to get five runs and completely separate themselves. So that's the crazy games that you get when you face a team that you've seen 20-some times already this season, and also a lot of their pitchers. Fifth time Scooble pitched against the Cards. I'm sure there's similar stuff with Freddie Peralta and company
and Woodruff,
Imananga for the Cubs, and there's a Boyd. You know, they know each other. I think that makes it a little harder.
I think that's better for a series. I would root for the Cubs and the Brewers to begin with, but I was wrong on the Brewers winning that series. Actually, the Cubs won that series. It was about 50-50, 7-6 was the record between the teams. And then the Padres actually beat the Brewers head-to-head in the season as well, 4-2. So you can't look too far into it, but it's two teams that have played, seen success against the Brewers this season. I think the Brewers are going to lose to whoever plays that series.
Why am I?
I could see them losing to either of these two teams, the Padres or the Cubs. Now, the Padres never win a divisional series. We saw it last year against the Dodgers. They're a really tricky team in a big spot, because the Padres are the very good team that also finds a way to lose, a la Guardians a little bit. But with the Cubs, that interdivision, Craig Council coming back. Now, everybody who has sort of left the Brewers, David Stearns including, who's the general manager of the Mets now, they have sort of looked back at the Brewers and thinking, oh my God, number one overall seed in the NL. That's a series where I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on Milwaukee to show up. And I'm going to assume here that the Padres can force a game. I'm going to guess they force a game three, because they got two men on right here, no outs, top six, up 3-0 against the Cubs. But I think either of these two teams could, and I would probably put money on them beating the Brewers.
Milwaukee's like Toronto to me, who they have these great records, but they're unable to win playoff series.
Like the Guardians.
No, the Guards, dude, the Guards went to the
like
ALCS.
Like the Padres.
The Guards went to the ALCS, and they went to a World Series within the last 10 years.
You got to give the Brewers a little bit of credit, because they were in the NLCS in 2017, but in a Game 7.
The Guards win series. They just can't beat the Yankees. Let's make that clear. All right, they win in the AL, and they went to a World Series in the last decade. But I understand what you're saying. The question with the Cubs right now is bullpen, and you're seeing that right now, I think, with the runners on right now. I know Imananga gave up two.
Which were great. They were great yesterday.
They were. And Council pushed all the right buttons, but Kittredge gave up a run, and now you got Thiber in the game doing God only knows what as we're doing the show. But the Brewers remind me of the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays and the Brewers can't win a playoff series. The Guardians can win a playoff series. They just can't get past the team. So I'm with you. I think the Brewers are going to blow it because it's what they do. Until they're Penn State.
This is the
bringing up Penn State. They can't win
There's a lot of Penn States.
The Mets are Penn State, and the Brewers are Penn State because they can't
the
get
Ravens
out of their own
are
way.
Also Penn State.
Poor Christian Cat. At least he has the Yankees. But you get
the Yankees are a little bit like
State.
Penn State.
They're
a little bit like Penn State.
I can't listen to that when they've won how many championships, Christian? 30?
27.
Okay, all right, perfect.
A little bit like Penn State.
I can't listen to that when they won in 2010 and have 27 championships.
We're going to have to come up with two subcategories of teams, either Penn State or somebody else that wins big games.
Correct. Yeah. But I'm surprised you said the Guards, man. We go on playoff runs. Just can't get past those godforsaken Yankees. And the year he didn't play the Yankees,
they went to the World Series. You were moaning and groaning up down the hallways until that eighth inning. You know,
you want to know what I got to say?
Oh, Stephen Kwan. You can't get a hit. These guys.
By the way, Kwan was bad.
They can't hit.
Kwan was JMP.
They got two hits. You know, they only got two hits. I heard that all afternoon. And
Kwan was batting .320 at one point this
all
year.
All afternoon.
Down Mike, to .272 at the end
of the
season.
You know they have two hits? You reminded everybody they got two hits. Two hits. Only two hits. Can
College
you believe
baseball.
That? This godforsaken team.
Colin, you can't
now
get...
Mike's got a big smile on their face, and they could beat anybody in the American League off of one inning.
I didn't say that. That is classic Mike Rizzo.
Same guy who said Ohio State bury them behind the stadium before going in to play Washington because they had no chance, made a tough road game. They win 24-6 after a dogfight for the first half, and Mike comes back saying, how is this team not number one?
You can get on
one
me.
One of the biggest phonies about that. Oh my God.
You can get on me for Michigan. Not the Washington game. I just said there were questions going into the game.
We don't
and
need
I was
to go
worried.
On to that. We don't
but
need to
you
go
get
on
what
that.
I'm saying. But like, I was surprised you threw the Guards in there just because they win playoff series and they've been to a World Series within the last decade.
Right.
So that's my pushback on that. But back to full circle with the Brewers and what I think is going to happen there. I don't think the Brewers are going to lay over and die. I don't think they're going to get swept. But I just don't see them winning a playoff series against the Cubs.
Yeah,
or this Padre team who's deep in their lineup and has a good bullpen and starting
pitchers.
Before
we get to break, we haven't even talked about it. We'll do it more in the second hour. Everybody was worried about the Los Angeles Dodgers, and are they just going to wake up? And that's exactly what happened.
Ohtani woke up.
Oh, the whole offense woke up. Teoscar Hernandez, like, they just come right after
things. Hang on, I stayed up for that godforsaken game.
I went to bed at about the sixth inning.
Well, hang on. I stayed up and watched Vargas try to, you know, make it a two-run game in the eighth inning, but complete domination by the Dodgers. Blake Snell was incredible.
Yeah, if I'm a Philly fan, I'm a little nervous.
Dude, those
that.
Lefties. How
I'm
about
a little nervous.
How about the lefties yesterday? Snell, Crochet, and Skubal all pitching their you-know-whats off. There's something to be said about a lefty gunslinger on the starting pitching.
I'd be a little nervous if I was a Philly fan. I'd be a little nervous.
You know what?
That.
We picked them to win the World Series. It was instant regret after talking to our Philly fan and fellow teammate here at ESPN West Palm, John O'Terry. It was instant regret after hearing his sly comments. He had the audacity to put on the dual screens, too. You got myself and Mike Jones, another fellow teammate who's a Detroit fan, and he puts up the multi-box. And what did I say? I can't even remember what I said, but I made some jab at him about it. Damn Philly fan. Can you imagine if we tried to multi-box when the Phillies were on? He'd go to orbit.
Mike Rizzo, Colin Rizzo, Christian Cat. We're sitting in the Annie Jar in the Vein Accent Attorney Studios because if... God forbid the Guardians lost that game to the Detroit Tigers and got eliminated.
Would have been a different show.
It would be Mike's luck to go out there and get fender bendered on on Okeechobee going back home.
Ah.
And if he did that, if he'd been in that car accident, truck accident, suffered a slip and fall, my friends, Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accent Attorneys, they're the type to fight for you. I know with Anajar and Levine, they got my back. They could get yours too. They don't even charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get you the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle just any attorney. They're the best in South Florida. Demand Anajar and Levine today. All it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life today. Don't wait. Call for the free consultation now. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. We'll loop in Christian Cat a little bit more, do a little 5 and 5 on the other side. The 5 p.m. hour presented by Google Moving and Storage on ESPN 106.3.